very high and holy Palm Sunday. I say in very much jest. you know, it's the Lord's Day, right? We're excited for it to be the Lord's Day. And on this Palm Sunday, if you will, I'm not even going to go over the triumphal entry. So if you got a problem with that, you can file a formal complaint. I'm not sure who with, but you can file it. That's great. We're going to continue on talking about David from last week. We're going to talk about David and his heart. We talked about how David was a man after God's own heart. Jesse goes, and Jesse's looking for who he's going to anoint to be the next king over Israel. And he comes across all of these fine, strapping young men, and the Lord says, no, none of these guys. None of these guys that look like that they could be king, none of these guys that look like they could be great military commanders and deliverers, these aren't the guys. You got any more sons? Jesse says, well, look, I got the youngest kid. He's out in the fields with the sheep. He probably stinks, you know. You can go check him out if you want to. And Jesse's like, well, Lord has not said that one of these guys are it, so I better go check him out. I want to do my job. So he goes and he anoints David as king over Israel. And then we look and we see David went out to his brothers who were at war. Goliath's putting the challenge forward. He's putting the challenge forward that they should bring out their champion, and everybody's cowering in fear, right? Israelites say, we don't want any part of Goliath. We're good right here, thanks. And David says, look, I'm not gonna stand for that. I'm not going to do that. I'm gonna rise up to the challenge because he's not going to insult our God like that. So he starts inquiring, look, what's going to be done for the one who challenges Goliath. And so he goes before King Saul. King Saul's like, you're crazy. Marshall free interpretation, in case anybody was wondering about book, chapter, and verse on that. I can't quite give it to you. You're nuts, but if you want to go, you know, hey, your choice. Here, at least take my armor so I can feel a little bit better about it when you get destroyed. David's like, that ain't going to work for me. I'm not used to dealing with the armor. So he said, I have had run-ins before with the lion and the bear. And the Lord is going to be with me, and the Lord will help me to defeat this giant. So David noted that he had had preparation before going into his battle with Goliath. He had noted that there had been a lion and that there had been a bear. And so we had talked about how David would have had to have worked through those situations. That at some point, David had a first night on the job. First night watching the sheep by himself, where he's personally responsible that if a predator comes along, he's going to have to be the guy to take care of it. And we talked about how there were progressive steps, lions and bears that he was going to encounter. And then we laid out the challenge. Do we see those lions and bears in our lives as preparation steps for us? Do we see them as leading up to the challenge of Goliath? Or do we see the things that happen in our lives as disconnected events? See, because if we interpret the events in our lives as a connected narrative story, as God preparing us to do the job that he has for us to do, it brings a whole lot more purpose than I just have to do this thing. I mean, where's the motivation in that, right? I got to do this thing, and this thing is really awful, right? I mean, how much fun is it to go up, you're this shepherd boy, and you're going up against Mr. Andre the Giant, right? And you're feeling how? It's not, even before that, I mean, I think I shared, I've never seen a grizzly bear in person, and I'm a little bit disappointed about that because I haven't seen them from, like, the convenience of my car, but I have no interest in seeing a grizzly bear up close and personal. I just want to clarify that from last week in case anybody was concerned about me, okay? I do not want that experience, okay? I don't want to be able to smell the grizzly bear, right? Here they stink. So I don't want that. But he had to have the experience of going up against the bear. Well, if it's just to save a couple of sheep, is it really worth it to go up against the grizzly bear? I'm getting out of there, man. I am getting out of there. Feast away. I mean, he can't eat all the sheep, right? We'll get more sheep. Okay, but that's not how David saw it, right? David saw his experience with the lion and with the bear as preparing him to be able to do whatever the Lord had for him next. He was leaning into the preparation that the Lord had for him to do. It was discovery. It was learning. Now, did he know that that's going to end up in him facing the giant? Does he know that that's going to end in him facing the tens of thousands? Does he know that that's going to end in him running from Saul, right, for years of his life? Does he know that that's going to end in him being king of Israel? Not immediately. Not when he's facing the lion and the bear. Certainly doesn't seem like that has happened yet, though there is a time interval there. He doesn't know. He doesn't know exactly what God has in mind. In fact, he doesn't even know when he's going to become king. He's anointed to be king. He's the one whom the Lord, okay, if you're going to follow somebody in David's day, you better believe that the Lord wants people following David and not Saul, right? But was he officially king on the throne yet? No. He'd only been anointed king, right? And so these were all preparation steps for David as he is looking to his future. And we referenced 1 Samuel 16:7, for, you know, the Lord sees the heart. Man sees what's on the outward appearance, the Lord sees what's in the heart. And so we put forward the challenge, how do we view challenges? Maybe even challenges that don't go very well. How do we see the things that we try and don't get the result that we're looking for right away? Do we interpret those things as failures? Because that can be the tendency, right? To interpret those things as failures when we're not getting the instantaneous results or even the results in the time frame that we reasonably expected. I mean, view those things then as failures. But that's not how the encouragement of the Scriptures is, and that's not how we're going to continue to overcome and to continue to be motivated. See, when we look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, it says, "There is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." It means there's no failure. The only way to lose in Christianity is to quit. Okay? Now, if we are in the proverbial neutral, okay, you're going to be going backwards. Jesus said there's neither hot nor cold. Okay, He said either be hot or cold. Don't be lukewarm. They'll spit you out of my mouth. Right? So the encouragement for each one of us then is to keep moving forward. No matter what that is, keep overcoming in our own individual lives. And as long as we are continuing to move forward, there is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So that means that we really can experience this life and all of the trials and tribulations that go along this life, with this life. We can treat them with an attitude of discovery, with an attitude of learning. It's not about how much knowledge we have right now. It's not about how moral we are right now. It's not about how many good things that we're doing right now. The question is, do we have the right attitude? Do we have the right heart? Do we have a paradigm of discovery and of learning? See, those things make the difference in whether we overcome long term or whether we get frustrated by the process. Because discovery isn't always easy, right? A few years back, I knew I wanted the freedom to be able to preach the gospel. And I knew that there was specific things that needed to be done, okay, that needed to be able to have more freedom and more flexibility. And I didn't know exactly where that more freedom and that more flexibility, I didn't know exactly where that was going to come from at that point. I was just trusting that I know that that's what I need to do, so I want to engage and open myself up to as many possibilities as getting that done as I possibly can. So one of the things that I looked at in particular was, what kind of jobs are open to me? What kind of occupations are open to me that I could maybe work from home, have more flexibility with my schedule, set those things? What can I do? What can I purposefully do to be able to set myself up to be in position to be able to get there? So one of the things that I looked into and I thought about and I started trying for a while is computer programming. Okay, so I looked at all sorts of available tools out there to be able to learn how to program, be able to learn a computer language, to be able to learn how to program, that sort of thing. So I was like, I'm going to give this a try. So I gave it a go for a while. I figured that there's low risk, high reward, okay, tools mostly free until you hit a certain point. Okay, high reward, they make good money if they get to that point, and there's a ton of flexibility. So I was like, hey, let's figure it out. Let's try this. Now, the only problem with that plan is I have zero programming aptitude. Okay, so other than that, the plan was perfect, right? So except for the fact I can't program. Like, and I tried, right? And it did not make sense to me. I'm going through easy stuff and struggling through it, right? So, like, I'm learning the basics of HTML and the very basics of JavaScript and that sort of thing. And it's like, yeah, this is not going to be for me. This is not going to work. Now, was that a failure? I don't think so. I don't think it was a failure. Okay, my heart was in the right place. I was wanting to find something that's going to help me be more available to be able to get the gospel out there further. And I thought that maybe that would be helpful. I discovered that that's not what the Lord had planned, right? At that time, I had no idea what it was that the Lord had planned. I didn't know. But I knew that he had something planned, but I figured out that, well, God hadn't blessed me with the aptitude to be a computer programmer, so that was not going to be what the Lord had planned. In the same way, as we grow in the body of Christ, there's different things that we have to discover. A lot of times we'll talk about each member of the body, and sometimes that can be a little fuzzy as to what exactly we mean and what exactly our role is. But that's intentional on God's part to a large degree, because who can determine for you what your role is? Nobody can. Nobody can determine for you what it is that God has for you to do individually and for you to be most effective. That's part of the growth process. It's part of the discovery process. It's part of what it takes each and every one of us to work through, to sweat through, to wake up early in the morning and try and figure out, like I was trying to do with computer programming. Didn't work. My mind was fuzzy in the morning even. Like, it was just a bad plan. But you're going to go through your own bad plans, right? You're going to go through your own stuff where it's like, oh, well, I'll try this. But you know what? You're better for trying it. You're better for trying it in the body of Christ. You're better for trying it in our individual lives. It's kind of a negative example of, I guess, I don't really view it negatively, but someone could, like, oh, well, that didn't work. Okay, great. It didn't work. I know something that the Lord doesn't have in store for me, right? It didn't. It was just discovery. It was just learning more what the Lord has. We're going to have all sorts of different discoveries like that in our lives. I didn't get to play very much basketball when I was young because I was always in, I was either homeschooled or went to a small Christian school. And so I never really got to play basketball very much with kids my own age. You know, family camps were awesome for that, right? And you had different times, youth camp, that sort of thing. But I didn't get to play a lot of, no organized ball until I was a sophomore in high school. And so, as a sophomore in high school, and even into my junior year, I kind of saw myself a little bit as a forward center, right? Because I thought that, all of the cool kids handle the ball, right? And so, I wanted to be more of a forward. And, you know, my coach was patient with me through that. He was patient with, now, I had no business handling the ball as a forward. None. Whatsoever. It was not my role. I was not a good ball handler. It was not what I was supposed to be doing. He was patient with me through that and kept developing the picture of me as a dominant post, low post player. He kept hitting that picture of me as a dominant low post player. He didn't say, oh, you got to ditch any idea that you're going to be handling the ball. He didn't ditch any idea that you're going to be a forward. You're never going to be a forward. That's not what you're going to do. He didn't do any of those things. He just kept giving me the training and the development that he knew that I needed to become a dominant center in our league. And that's eventually what happened to me on an individual level. So he didn't demand that I reject this idea of me being a forward. He just said, here you go. Here's the tools. Do you want them? You're going to keep showing up to practice? You're going to keep working hard? You're going to keep letting me beat you up in the low post? Right? I had to engage in that, but he had the tools if I wanted to discover what my potential really was. Well, don't we have the greatest coach who has the tools that if we're interested in discovering what our potential really is, that he can get us there? If we'll engage with him with our whole heart? So that's why he gives us the clean conscience that we so desperately need to be able to serve him. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews 9. Verses 13 and 14. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling for those who have been defiled sanctify for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve a living God? So we have that cleansed conscience to be able to approach life with an attitude of growth and an attitude of discovery. To find out what it is that service lived out in our lives individually actually looks like. Because each member of the body, it's going to look a little bit different. It's supposed to look a little bit different. But what God has done is he has taken off the pressure. And he has given the freedom that, look, you don't have to be worrying about the things which defile your conscience. You don't have to be worrying about the things which you're feeling guilty about. Because you know what? When you are feeling guilty, you are not thinking forward. You're thinking back. And whenever we think back, we're basically functioning with half of our brains tied behind our back. Doesn't work. So that's why God's continual exhortation, okay, is to move forward, okay, with cleansed consciences, knowing that this is all part of the faith process. This is all part of what it looks like to grow and to discover. Not to view those things as failures. It was an experiment. programming thing was an experiment. The way that I interacted with that person, you know what? Wouldn't do it that way, but what was it? An experiment, right? Anybody else been there? Like, hey, that experiment did not work. Like, I thought I was doing a really good thing, right? I was going to give them the correct doctrinal stance, and they were wrong, and I was right, and you better believe it, I am going to help them out. And that might have been your real attitude, right? I'm going to be helpful. And that experiment resulted in, I would guess, probably a fractured relationship or some hurt feelings, or we've all been there. But what was it? Something to beat ourselves up about? It was an experiment. Find what is, let's use a scriptural terminology, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Trying to learn. Learning certainly is a process, as my programming experience taught me, right? It is a process. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. So that's going to take some experimentation to, like, hey, that was not pleasing to the Lord. It's not always obvious. You know, but our potential, as we do find our role in the body, and as we do experiment, and as we do grow in more and more to see what's going to be effective, we recognize that our potential really is unlimited. Verses like Philippians 4:13 really start to come to life in our lives individually. It's not just some theory like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, but rather that's the way that we can live our lives. Because the potential is clear, because the conscience is clean, and whatever I do it heartily. This is the Lord. It's going to be an experimentation. I'm going to try to learn what's pleasing to the Lord, because I don't always know. We come into Christ, we got reprogramming that needs to be done. However, our potential is the same. The question is, what is it that's going to determine whether or not we meet our potential? It is not our current performance. Rather, it's the attitude with which we approach our Christian lives. It's our attitude that's going to make the difference. Before this, about David, we were talking about duplication. And we reproduce after our own kind. In the same way, our spiritual children adopt our worldview. Now, they can grow past the way that we see it. Sometimes they don't quite adopt the way that we see it very quickly, but the most natural thing for them is going to be whatever our worldview is, just as our physical children do. It's not fixed, and they're going to develop their own worldview. But when we're talking about duplication, the worldview that your disciple is going to most naturally adopt is the one that they see modeled. How do you view your Christian life? With guilt? Or with an attitude of growth? With an attitude of experimentation? With an attitude of, this is faith, and I'm on the faith path, and as long as I'm on the faith path, I'm not going to worry too much about the rest. It's really interesting to me. You've got Paul. You've got Paul and Barnabas, right? And they're going on missionary journey. Going on a missionary journey, they bring along good old Mark, right? You got Paul and Barnabas, and they bring about Mark. Mark, he flames out. Gone. Mark, he deserts him. And so Mark deserts him. Paul and Barnabas, they finish their missionary journey. Mark has deserted them. They're going to go out again. And Barnabas says, look, Mark's pretty young in the faith. Made a mistake. Let's give him another shot. Let's bring him along again. We've all been there. Had mistakes that are made, you can kind of hear Barnabas and what he would have tried to convince Paul of. And Paul, he said, nah. Look, work we're doing is important, okay? Not only is the work that we're doing important, okay, but he left us high and dry once before, okay? We are not going to take him along with us again. There's all sorts of things that I'm sure that Mark can do. Okay, again, you're getting the Marshall free version again. Okay, there's all sorts of things that Mark can do going along with us in a missionary journey so soon after he deserted us. That's not one of the things that he can do. And I get to make that call. So there was a sharp disagreement, according to the scriptures, between Barnabas and Paul. Do you know what the scripture does not spend one sentence or even less one word discussing? Does not spend one sentence or one word discussing who was right in that disagreement. Why is that? Scripture doesn't spend any amount of time about who was right in that disagreement because they were both going down the faith path. It didn't matter. Paul was convinced in his heart. Barnabas was convinced in his heart. They both were going down the faith path. And so you know what? God put his stamp of approval on it. That's how faith works. And so they experimented. Personally, just so you guys know, I'm a little bit more of a Barnabas guy. What's that? Okay. Some other people are more Paul guys. I know some guys that I highly respect that are Paul guys. But you know what? Doesn't matter. It does not matter. What matters is that they were each convinced in their own mind. And what matters is that they were going down the faith train. The faith track, excuse me. That's what mattered. What matters is they are going to do what is pleasing to the Lord, and they both have a faith paradigm, a faith worldview. And so they experimented and did what was pleasing to the Lord. And one of the things that you see with Paul later on, right, is that Paul was not stubborn in what he did. He sees the fruit of what Mark does, and later on he specifically requests Mark, right? He says, hey, send him to me. Send him to me. He is of great use to me. In the same way, we get to experiment. We get to grow. There are different times where we're Paul guys and different times where we're Barnabas guys. And both of it's okay as long as we're going down the faith track. We're going to have an attitude that is pleasing to the Lord because the Lord sees the heart. God is preparing us for work. David went through trials in his life, and those trials were preparation. Those trials were not for naught. They were for a purpose. Goliath, you can see him as a big challenge, but we see the preparatory work that led up to Goliath. But Goliath was preparatory work for the next thing in David's life, for his tens of thousands. Other trials that David went through, he has Saul hunting him down for a matter of years, and he patiently waited for the Lord's timing. He's patiently waiting for the Lord's timing. Well, do you think that the Lord's timing might have prepared him for when he does become king and part of the kingdom after he gets on the throne, okay, that part of the kingdom then declares civil war? Part of the kingdom, even after Saul is dead, right, David gets on the throne, and then we have a war. Again, is David's patience and the preparatory work that God put him through, fleeing from Saul, going to help him when he is going to have to fight in this civil war and then bring the nation back together again. Do you think that the lessons that he learned in waiting for the Lord's timing there were going to be helpful and absolutely essential as he brings the nation back together? As he has an attitude of unity. See, all of these things too, there was terrible family strife, right? A lot of those family strife, a lot of that family strife stemmed from sin in David's own life. But he kept overcoming. He kept overcoming, and the result of those challenges, okay, is that he penned many of the Psalms. He was victorious over the tens of thousands. He had self-control to have compassion with Saul. He was able to set the stage for the temple of the Lord. He's regarded as Israel's favorite king. He was called a man after God's own heart. He is a picture of what Jesus would be. The king. Israel's most prominent king as a picture of the real king of Israel, right? Scripture talks about David's throne and that sort of thing. It's really talking about Jesus as the king on his throne. But who is it that got to picture that? David. But did David see that when he's fighting the bear? I'm just leaning into doing what I got to do today. Just living by faith today. Well, question is, what is God preparing you for? What little battle is there in your life that will be preparing you for a bigger battle later on? And what have you been viewing as a failure that you could shift your paradigm and see as an exciting challenge? There's lots of things to discover out there. There's a lot of work to be done for us individually and collectively as the body of Christ. We can get it done, but we're going to have to realize that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We can do this together. We can get the job done. It's going to be some experimentation. It's going to be some discovery. There's going to be some times where we figure out how a light bulb doesn't work. We have the perfect coach that will help us to reach our potential if we'll engage together with him. Joe?